The hosts feel it would be a little unkind to present this podcast without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to. Well, we've warned you.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Frankencast. I'm the mad scientist, Anthony Bowman. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm joined as always by...
the gimmick band from the days of yore, that is Eric Velasquez. My pronouns are also he, him.
Yeah, so a little bit
Alvin
of a change of pace
Simon
from...
Theodore.
Yeah, this is kind of, you know, it's like, this came out in 99, so it was a little after when I would have been watching Alvin and the Chipmunks, but, like, it just felt like... nothing had changed from, like, the, you know, I know now we've got these, like, the CGI live action ones that are probably a whole different thing. I've not seen any of those, but this felt like, you know, the Chipmunks that I remember.
Do you know why it felt like that? Because there is a line of continuity going throughout the entirety of the history of Alvin and the Chipmunks. His name is Ross Bagdasarian Jr. And he is the guy who created Alvin and the Chipmunks and has always voiced Alvin.
That's really
cool. Even in the movies, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he also is, or in some of the original versions was Dave also, right? But like,
yep.
I'm not sure if he is at this point in this 99 version, but yeah, that makes sense. Like, one other thing that, you know, we'll get into as we go, but like, most animated movies now, they just kind of, I feel like maybe starting with like Shrek, they just stopped like making their own music. I think Disney is really the only place that still does that. But like, in fact, like I looked at the soundtracks of like the recent CGI Alvin and the Chipmunks, and the songs on those are like, you know, they do like all the Single Ladies and like, you know,
they're,
it's all
bops,
like pop songs. Yeah, exactly. But like back then they like actually wrote their own new unique songs for the movies, and it, you know, the songs don't have to be great necessarily. Like, I mean, these songs aren't like ones that I'm gonna remember in like a month or anything,
right?
But like that little extra effort of being like, this is a thing that we're actually making. It's not a jukebox musical where we're just dragging in top 40 hits to just, you know, capitalize on stuff that kids already know. It makes it feel like it's its own thing and not just like commenting on pop culture.
Right, exactly. Before corporate America really like went whole hog.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, we're talking about Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's this starting?
It starts out perfect. It's in black and white to begin. We see like a castle on a hill. We see like a, you know, a monstrous like Frankenstein hand with stitches and everything. It like knocks over a bunch of toys on a shelf and then starts like moving through a village being chased by like the pitchfork torch mob. I mean, it's just so like universal horror. It actually reminded me of like the animated sequence at like the beginning of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Very much so. Yeah.
Like the animation is similar, like black and white animation is just, it looks so different. It's so crisp, and I really like the way it looks.
Yeah, it just does something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have the option for color, sure. Maybe even it was originally created in color, but the black and white just, it stands out a little bit more. But they run past a guy digging in the graveyard, and I just typed, it was like Crypt Gore, because he kind of reminded me of the Crypt Keeper and Igor. But no, that's Dr. Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, as the crowd goes by, he kind of ducks behind a gravestone and then, you know, gets out. It ends up that, like, the mob kind of gets to the castle. The monster has gone inside and closed the gate. And then, I guess, Frankenstein has like, a shortcut route or whatever, because he comes out then.
Right. He has a secret passage in the graveyard.
Yeah, and you know, he's like, what do you do? You know, they're like, there's a monster in there. We want that monster. And he's like, what? You think I made a monster out of dead body parts I stole from graves or something?
Right, yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah. And the villager's like, oh, yeah, that does sound ridiculous. We're sorry. And they just leave.
Right, but then he's like, well, this won't do. We've got to put you away, Mr. Monster Man. And he just spins his head around.
Mm-hmm. He, like, takes off the head bolts, which, you know, usually we see as, like, a way to conduct electricity, but in this case, they are holding the head on. Yeah, he undoes those and then twists the head around like a jar lid.
Nice touch, I think.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, he drops it, and he's like, ah, it's fine. If it's broken, I've got a spare laying around.
Yeah.
And he just, like, packs up the body, and we immediately cut to, like, sort of... You know, it's color now. It's like modern America. We see a woman in like...
Well, it's like a dank dungeon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like there's a woman and she's in like, you know, kind of neon clothes. You know, it's very like, you know, 90s.
Very popular at the time.
Yeah. And there's a Frankenstein monster like coming towards her. You know, it looks like, oh no, she's in danger. But then the monster trips.
Falls?
He falls and his head falls off. But nope, actually, it's not his head. It's just a mask, and there's just like a sort of nerdy guy in a costume.
Yeah. What is like, it was my sciatica acting up or something like that, right?
Yeah, he's talking in like, you know, just this generic like nebbishy Woody Allen type voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is all offended, you know, because she paid good money to go to this haunted attraction and it's not scary at all. So she storms off.
Right. Now, okay, and as they're leaving, I swear to God, at the time, I was like, she says, hey, Billy, let's go to Dragonlance, or see the Dragonlance ride, okay, for D&D fans out there. No, I heard wrong, it's Dragonland, I mean, yeah. So, but, okay, also, when we actually get to Dragonland, it's very reminiscent of the D&D cartoon coaster ride.
Yeah, now that you say that, it definitely does have a similar animation style.
So I wonder if they weren't trying to use something and then something happened. I don't know. It's the 90s, this was a direct-to-video film, who knows?
Yeah, I'd believe it for sure.
Yeah.
And I think as the woman's leaving, she also runs into another guy from the park and kind of complains about how it's not scary.
Yes, Mr. Yesman, who's always worried that he's going to get fired. Mm-hmm. For what reason? Like, he's the boss, right?
He seems like, he seems scared of somebody above him, but we never see who that is.
Yeah, but he also has, like, the ability to make decisions for the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, he goes in right away and is like, yeah, you're off the project. You're not scary. You're messing things up.
Yeah, you get to go back to your old job of Sammy Squirrel.
Yeah.
Which this seems to be a punishment for everybody.
Yeah. This seems to be kind of like a Universal Studios type park, kind of crossed with Disney, you know, Sammy Squirrel being like a knockoff, you know, Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny kind of character. And he's like, well, I that's fine, I guess. At least I know the lines already. And he ends up getting the Sammy Squirrel head put on, but he's still in the Frankenstein body costume. And he, like, stumbles outside singing the Sammy Squirrel theme song, which we'll hear a dozen times and is super annoying.
Yeah. I definitely empathize with Frankenstein on that one.
Yeah. He, like, bumps into somebody on his way out and kind of scares them because he's this weird, you know, hybrid of Frankenstein and Sammy Squirrel.
Yeah. But the mom and the kid are walking around, they see Alvin and the Chipmunks, Spook Fest! And the kid's like, hey, let's go see that!
Yeah. So they go into the, you know, it's like a little amphitheater kind of performance area. And Alvin and the Chipmunks come out and they perform a song that's all, you know, it's a spooky, like, Halloween spectacular kind of thing.
Yeah.
The song is called, like, There's Things Out There. And the stage show's super elaborate. Like, it wouldn't actually be possible outside of animation.
No.
But, like, they change costumes just, like, seamlessly. And there's all these, like, you know, high-tech looking ghosts and everything. And, you know, it looks great. It's a fun little, you know, opening number here.
So basically, Alvin is always the boss. Simon is a smart one. Theodore is the I'm really hungry and I'm scared of everything
mm-hmm. character. Yeah, yeah. If you aren't familiar, that's the archetypes yeah. there. I feel like there's quite a few like kind of fat jokes of Theodore in this, but yeah. not nearly as many as they were back when I was watching this, you know, in
the regular cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've yeah. toned it down slightly, but they definitely could stand to tone it down some more.
Right.
And the end of the performance, Alvin kind of like gets knocked off the stage and like bumps.
It's like he's trying to crowd surf / jump over Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, yeah. Like that's the big finale or whatever. But he ends up bumping into the kid, you know, the rude mom and her son.
Yeah.
And it scares the kid, and he starts crying. And she immediately goes from being mad about the one attraction not being scary enough to here being like, I can't believe you scared my kid.
Scared my kid, yeah.
Yeah, she just can't be happy. I mean, she's just like a rude customer that is going to find fault with whatever.
I mean, we all know that person, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the Karen, but mm-hmm. like, you know, in 99, like way before Karen was a thing.
Proto-Karen.
Yeah. So, you know, as the crowd kind of disperses, I think Mr. Yesman comes out and is like, the Chipmunks will be back in an hour for another performance. And so, of course, the Chipmunks are like, oh, cool, we've got an hour to kill here in the park.
Hey, we want to go to Dragonland now.
Yeah, yeah. I think Theodore is like, what about, we could go get a snack? We could go to the snack yeah. bar. And they're like, come on, we're in a park. Let's do something fun.
Right.
And, you know, Alvin specifically wants to go to Dragonland because it looks like the coolest thing in the park.
Yeah. By the way, Alvin is like the precursor to Bart Simpson. He's mm-hmm. precocious and like edgy, but not really at
yeah,
all.
He's like, I mean, he's in the Dennis the Menace kind of prototype as well. Like he's definitely not as edgy as Bart Simpson, but like, you know, he causes trouble and, you know, their whole deal is like, he's the leader. He gets them into trouble. And then Simon, figures out how to get them out of trouble.
Right.
And meanwhile, Theodore is just scared in the middle, stuck between his two more controlling brothers.
Right.
But we cut away from them to Dr. Frankenstein from earlier. He's arrived in the park, and Mr. Yesman is kind of giving him a tour and taking him up to the castle.
Yeah, he wanted to hire a monster expert.
Yeah, so he got like the real deal here.
Seems like a bad plan.
Right, yeah.
It's never worked really well in anything before.
No. And this is the first time that Frankenstein bumps into the Sammy Squirrel mascot and is immediately like, I hate this. I don't want this thing around me at all. Keep him away.
I've hated this thing ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yep. But we also get a good joke about, you know, Mr. Yesman saying, getting here must have cost you an arm and a leg. And Frankenstein's like, well, it cost me an arm and two legs.
Right, yeah. And then we go from there back to the Chipmunks, and Theodore is like really scared about going to Dragonland, and Alvin's like, no, but it's gonna be great. You know, there's gonna be like, I think
fire.
He's like, it's not actually a roller coaster. And Theodore's like, oh, that's great. And he's like, no, because a roller coaster just goes up and down and maybe does some loops, but this is like, it does all of that, but there's also all this other cool shit. There's
4D
fire.
Experience.
Yeah, and Theodore's like, no, that did not comfort me. This made it seem worse. I am even more scared than before.
Right, and to make it even worse, some kids walk out, they're all singed. And they're like, man, we barely survived that.
Yeah, we should go do it again. I can still hear out of my left ear or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
Theodore's just like, well, but what if we just went and got snacks instead? Snacks would be good.
Because he's the fat one, yeah.
And then back at the Frankenstein Castle attraction, Dr. Frankenstein kind of like yells at some customers out front, and
he just kicks them out.
Yeah,
like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, and Mr. Yesman's like, remember, this is a tourist attraction. You have to you have to let the tourists into your house. That's part of the deal. He's like, I want you to leave too. Why don't you go away? I've got stuff to set up. And Yesman's like, okay, sure, fine.
And that's when the porters bring in a bunch of his equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then back with the Chipmunks, they're wanting to go to Dragonland. So of course they get on like the tram tour ride, like Universal Studios has.
Yeah.
And they meet the tour guide, Phil, who's
a little bit of a stereotype.
Yeah, he's like an aspiring actor. Like the first thing when everybody gets on, he's like, is anybody here
producers?
Like a producer or like a friend of a producer or maybe a writer, anything? And no one raises their hand. And he's like, okay, fine. Right. I'm going to tone down my like charm. It's not really, I'm not going to waste it on you rubes.
Right.
At some point, like, you know, he does do like his little monologue and the chipmunks, they like take over the tram ride and they have like they're better actors than he is and they kind of make him mad.
He tries to do a whole monologue like you were saying and they upstage him completely. Mm-hmm. He's like, fuck this.
Yeah. He ends up like they like bump into him, he ends up like flying off the back of the tram. Alvin starts speeding along. He ends up like crashing through some like live sets in the process.
It seems like everybody enjoys his version of the tour, though.
Yeah, yeah. Simon's like trying to give the tour spiel while Alvin's driving all crazy. Eventually, I think they do fully crash, and Phil is able to catch up and is like, "You guys are kicked off the tour." So that now they're just somewhere in the middle of the park. They have no idea how to get either to Dragonland. Yeah, yeah, and they're like, we can't get to Dragonland. We also can't get back to where we're supposed to perform. We're just kind of lost.
So apparently, a couple of hours later, when the park's closing, the performance, Mr. Yesman cancels the performance.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it up on the sign.
Yeah, and he calls Dave Seville, the caretaker father figure for the chipmunks.
Right.
He's complaining that they didn't show up, that they're unreliable. And like Dave does this whole he's like, it must be a mistake. I'll get it all straightened out. I'll find them. I'll take care of it. They're usually much more reliable. And as soon as he hangs up, he's like, God, they're being unreliable again, as they always are. Like,
well, so here's the thing though. He knew that, right? He knows Alvin, and he's not there.
Yeah, he just sent them to a theme park on their own. Yeah, this was a bad call.
That was on Dave.
Yeah,
that was all on him.
So then we got the chipmunks, kind of lost, roaming around. Simon is mad that Alvin got the show canceled and that the park is locked. They're stuck overnight. And
he's like, well, what's the worst that could happen? We could die of starvation in a couple hours, whatever. and they'll never see us again.
Yeah, which Theodore was already scared. And if you're going to, the best way to scare Theodore is die of starvation of all things.
Right.
So, yeah, then they decide they're going to call Dave. Dave can come take care of it. He always fixes things for them. But they can't get through to Dave because Dave's already left to come to the park to get the chipmunks. So, of course, this is predating cell phones. There's really no way to get a hold of him because he's not sitting next to his landline.
It's predating when cell phones were actually, ever present across the world, right? Only the rich had their cell phones at this point.
Yeah, I think I got my first cell phone in, 2000. So, a brick cell phone that had, limited minutes and couldn't text and was just
one of those old Nokias, baby.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You could beat somebody to death with those things.
Yep. So this is a little before that for Dave. He doesn't have one. We see him, outside the park.
B&E.
First he does his the sort of quintessential Dave Seville line, which is going through all of the chipmunks' names, but Theodore,
Alvin!
Simon, Alvin, and then like you said, he climbs over the fence, just goes right into the park illegally.
you would figure he could just walk up and be like, hey, my kids are here somewhere.
Yeah.
Can I go look?
And so while he's starting to look for them in the park, the chipmunks notice that there's a light up on the hill at the spooky castle. Somebody's still here. Maybe they can help us. So they decide to go to Frankenstein's castle. When they get there, they creep in and they're hiding and they see Frankenstein doing his mad science.
Right. Complaining about how Yesman's an idiot for literally hiring him.
Yeah. And he's putting his monster back together and re-reviving him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time, the chipmunks are watching, and they're like, "This has got to be a show. They're practicing for tomorrow. That monster's got to be a guy in a costume.
Yeah, got to be.
Yeah. But as the whole revival process is going, Frankenstein he's moving around. He sees the chipmunks.
Alvin drops his hat, and he runs into that. And Alvin's big thing is don't touch the hat.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And he literally jumps out at Frankenstein. He's like, don't touch that, as he steps on it.
Yeah. So they all kind of run away then, and Frankenstein, you know, the monster has woken up, and he's like, after them, if they see, you know, tell anybody what they've seen, it could cause us trouble. You got to stop them.
Yeah, we get a little bit of a Scooby-Doo scene where they're out in the park, and Dave's like, all right, I bet you they got locked in their... they got locked in their dressing room, right? Because mm-hmm. that's nice and comforting thought, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get like a chase scene, you know, the monster in pursuit. Dave doesn't find them in the dressing room, and then he's like, oh, wait, there's a light up on the hill. Maybe let's they're there.
Yeah,
so now he, you know, heads towards the castle while the monster keeps pursuing. And like you said, it's very Scooby-Doo. Like, there's a bit where... You know, one of those, I don't know, I feel like this thing should have a name, and I don't think it really does. Those, like, wooden cutouts, like, painted with
standees,
cartoons.
Standees, right?
Where it's, like, the face holes that you can take. Is standees, is that what they're called?
Oh, no, that's where you, the portrait thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, those are, like, the photo op kind of things.
I thought you were talking about the Sammy Squirrel standee thing with the song playing.
Right. But there's like a bit where like all the chipmunks are peeking out of different face holes in the thing, and then the monster peeks out of one, and they're like, "Oh no!" And they, you know, they run away again. Yeah. Eventually, they do find their way to Dragonland as they're, you know, trying to run away, and right. Alvin's like, "Well, we should go in there, right?" And you know, Simon and Theodore are like, "I can't believe you're thinking about trying to do something fun at a time like this. We're being chased by a killer monster."
Right.
And Alvin's like, "But on the other hand." That's the best place to hide, because he would right. never think we would be so stupid as to go on a roller coaster when we're running for our lives.
Arguably sounds like a good plan, but also it's kind of stupid because you're trapped on a roller coaster and there's a monster on the loose.
Yeah, but somehow that convinces Simon and Theodore, and they decide to go. And they, you know, but of course the
there's
monster,
a phone on the wall. Oh,
sorry. the phone.
Yeah, it's a phone.
And, you know, Alvin's like, we could try to call Dave again. So he, like, picks up the phone and just starts, like, talking into it without waiting for Dave to answer or anything.
Right, literally says exactly where they are. We're in the Dragonland ride, so come pick us up. Well, it turns out that's an intercom, not a phone.
Yep, so the monster, of course, hears and immediately, like, crashes into where they are. And he smashes into, like, the... ride operator booth, which causes the roller coaster to kick on, and you know, of course, all the chipmunks jump on, and they're in the front of the coaster, but the monster is able to jump on at the end, so they're on like one, you know, kind of train together.
We kind of go back and forth between this and Dave meeting with Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And Frankenstein's like, hey, let me make some roofie tea for you there, buddy.
Right. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's asking, like, are you an organ donor? You know, clearly, like, wants to chop Dave up for parts.
Right.
And, you know, Dave's just, like, worried. He's asking, like, have you seen these three, you know, little chipmunk guys? And, you know, yeah, Frankenstein's acting like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. No idea.
Yeah. And so as the, you know, we go back to the chipmunks, they're continuing the ride. Theodore is really scared of, like, the fake dragons popping out, and I think Simon is like, hey, you do know there's like a real monster actually chasing us.
And of this course, Theodore's freaking out. Or Alvin's loving this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, this is the best thing ever.
But then we see that the monster doesn't know that the dragon is fake. So he's kind of scared as well. Like,
he grabs onto like a stalactite.
Yeah, it's like it's a tight, right? Because it's a fang from the dragon, right. And he's like trying to hold the roller coaster to keep it from because it's like it's supposed to be one of those deals where like the coaster goes into the dragon's mouth, and oh, that's so scary.
Right. And apparently, there's boiling oil or bile on the other side.
Right. It looks like a lava pit or something. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. You know, inside the dragon somehow. And meanwhile, Frankenstein is trying to, like, shoot Dave with tranquilizer darts because he doesn't want his tea.
Right.
And it, like, bounces off of a bunch of things and ends up tranquilizing Frankenstein instead.
Yep. Hell of a ricochet on that.
Yeah. Eventually, with the monster holding them back in the ride, Simon's like, oh, this kinetic energy is building up. If he doesn't let go soon, it's going to be really bad. And at that point, I think the tooth does break, and the monster ends up going flying one way, while the roller coaster with the chipmunks goes, you know, down inside the dragon mouth.
It's basically supercharged at this point, so it jumps the rail when it comes back up, and they get thrown out onto a tour bus.
Yeah. And in the process, like, the monster also kind of gets thrown out. They're all kind of near each other, but the chipmunks are able to get away in the chaos. But Theodore drops his beloved teddy bear.
We forgot he was. We didn't mention that he was carrying that thing around the whole time, but he was.
Yeah, he's always had. It's just like a part of his whole character deal. And yeah, you know, he's the coward kid, so he's of course got to have a little teddy bear. And then I think we go from there just like to like the chipmunks or no, we got to
Dave's
Dave.
At home.
Yeah, he's talking
looking
to the
cops.
Photo book. Yeah. Yeah, he's like showing him pictures. This is what they all look like, you know.
This is the time Alvin set the fire station on fire.
Right. But then the chipmunks just come strolling in. They're all fine. And the cops are like, "Well, good. We don't have to worry about that." And they
yeah, our job's done here. We didn't have to do a damn thing. Great.
Yep. Cops love it when that happens.
Sometimes they make that happen.
Right. And so, you know, Dave is like, "All right, you know, time to have a seat on the couch. You're going to get, you know, yelled at for being irresponsible." And Alvin tries to explain what actually happened, which sounds, you know, this is the
sounds crazy. Standard,
yeah, it's the thing with, like, when kids get in, you know, any horror movie where they're kids, they see the monsters first and the grown-ups don't believe them.
Right. But that's very, it's very interesting and kind of telling that he's like, "Well, you're just lying, so now you have to go to bed so I don't have to deal with your shit."
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they live in a world where they're, like, giant talking chipmunks. So
right,
like,
yeah.
It's not the craziest thing to imagine that there might be other things out there.
Yeah, I'd definitely be on guard that night, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they go to bed, and the chipmunks are all like, "What are we going to do? Like, the monster's still probably after us. You know, Dave doesn't believe us. So we don't have any grown-ups to protect us." Which leads to them kind of breaking out in another song, which is like, I think it's called like, "If a Monster Comes Into Our Room."
Right. What you gonna do?
Yeah. And it's kind of a, like a rap song, but you know, obviously, yeah, you know, very kid friendly cartoon rap. It's, you know, they're not like, they don't have flow or anything, but you know,
no, it's white people rap for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
90s rap, white people rap. Yep.
Yeah. As like they finish the song, they all kind of tuck themselves in bed. Theodore's like, "I just miss Teddy. I hope he's okay wherever he is."
Yeah. We get a little bit of a shot of Teddy and Frankenstein, the monster, outside the window.
Yep. Yeah. He managed to like sniff the teddy bear and follow the scent and get all the way back to the house.
That thing must stink to high heaven.
Yeah. And he comes into their room, but they're all already asleep. But in the process, he kind of makes a little noise, and Dave is like, "You know, boys, what are you doing up there? I hear you knocking around. You need to be asleep."
Specifically, he's like, "Alva, go the fuck to sleep."
Yeah. And of course, the monster is like, "Oh, I don't want to get caught." So he dives out the window, and when
he doesn't do it quite right.
Yeah. And like Dave peeks in the room then, and he's like, "Okay, everybody looks like they're asleep. It's all good." So he leaves, and Theodore opens his eyes because he heard the monster jump out the window, and he peeks out there and sees the monster with his teddy bear, and you know, Theodore, his love for the teddy bear, you know, outweighs his normal like cowardice, so he's like, "I'm gonna jump out there, I'm gonna save my teddy bear."
Right, exactly.
But when he gets out there, it turns out the monster just brought the teddy bear back. He wanted to give him to Theodore. He's not there
that
to,
was pretty
to
nice.
Like hunt down and kill the chipmunks or anything.
Yeah.
And so Theodore's like, "Oh wait, like you're nice. You're not like a mean monster that wants to hurt us." And you know, this Frankenstein monster is, you know, it's very like, you know, Karloff in the first movie. He doesn't speak. He just kind of grunts, but he's friendly and, you know, or like Monster Squad, you know, it's that kind of Frankenstein.
Very childlike, like the chipmunks.
Yeah, and so Theodore's like, why don't you come inside? It looks like it's getting ready to start raining. You can sleep with us. He goes inside. He cut back to the park where Frankenstein is looking for the monster, can't find him anywhere. I think he smashes Sammy Squirrel standee that I think this is the one that's playing the song and he hates it, so he like punches it.
Well, he sees the broken gate as well where the monster broke through. I don't think we saw the monster break through the gate, but he sure does.
And so from there, I think we cut to the next morning.
Alvin's waking up, first one.
Yeah. So
there's a big bump on Theodore's bed, though. That's weird.
Yeah, and he's like, what's going on there? So he goes and lifts up the blanket and sees that the monster is cuddled up under Theodore's blanket.
Right, and in Alvin, classic style, he just puts it right back down, calmly goes over to Simon. He's like, there is a fucking monster in the bed.
Yeah.
Paraphrase.
Yeah, they get a baseball bat, and they're going to go over and beat up the monster. I think at first Alvin's got it and is like, all right, you pull back the blanket and I'll hit him.
I'll hit it, yeah.
And then Simon pulls back the blanket and he's like, actually, you hit him. I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's when the monster looks directly at him. And he's like, here you go, Simon, buddy.
Yeah. But then Theodore wakes up and he's like, no, don't hit him. He's a nice monster. He wants to be our friend. And they're like, oh, yeah, we totally knew that. We wanted to see if you wanted to play baseball.
With baseball, yeah. Because we have a bat. That's what we have.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and at that point, Dave, like, knocks on the door, and they're like, oh, no, what are we going to do? But he's like, guys, go ahead and get up and get dressed. Get yourself breakfast. I'm headed out. I'm going to try to smooth
things over with Mr. Yesman so you can go back to your job.
Yeah. And so
Dave, I don't trust you, Dave.
Yeah. So he just leaves without opening the door or anything, and they're all like, what a relief. And so while he's gone, the chipmunks are like, what are we going to do? We got to figure this out. We've got this monster friend now. We can't keep him hidden.
The monster's randomly breaking pieces of glass and the crystal.
Yeah, just smashing stuff all over the house by accident. Mm-hmm. I think the chipmunks are going to try to make him some breakfast. They like are put, making an omelet or whatever. But there is a really nice moment. He's smashing stuff in the house, and Theodore is like, it's okay. Like, we've all made mistakes. We've all broken stuff. It's not a big deal.
Right, Alvin?
He's like, raise your hand if you've ever broken anything. And Theodore and Simon raise their hand, and Alvin's like, I've never broken anything that I can remember. I do not recall having ever broken anything.
Immediately breaks glass. Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
You know.
And at some point in here, also, like, it turns out there's a babysitter who stops by, and they're like, oh, we don't need you today. Dave's here. Everything's fine. You can go home. And she's like, I can't believe Dave didn't call and let me know. I've wasted all this time coming over here.
Yeah.
And then she even sees the Frankenstein monster, and she's like, oh, yeah, I see, Dave. You're just dressed up in costumes playing around while I came all the way over here for no reason.
Yeah, I could have been on my dinner date.
Yeah, so she leaves, and...
By the way, I feel like this was only a throwback to those who watched the cartoon in, like, the early 90s / late 80s. Mm-hmm. So basically 10 years before this thing. Right. No one would have known or cared. Right.
Yeah. And so while the chipmunks are still trying to kind of figure out what to do, they're like, well, let's go to the playground. We'll just hang out at the park. And right away, the monster like takes a toy from a little girl who starts crying, and they're like, no.
Have you ever seen Looney Tunes or Tiny Tunes Adventures?
Yeah.
You know Elvira?
Yes.
I swear that little girl is Elvira. He just stole her truck.
Yeah, and they're like, we need to teach you about sharing. They have him give the girl her toy back, and then they sing another song that's like, if you want to have friends, and it's just a way to be. It's they're teaching manners to the monster through song, and over the course of the song, it's kind of a montage, and the monster does end up like kind of making friends with like all the kids on the playground. Everybody's happy. They're playing on all the equipment and sharing toys and just having a great time. Meanwhile, we see Dave.
Well, we see Mr. Yesman on a bench. It's like he's going through a therapy session. I don't think my mom really loved me.
Yeah. And then we see that it's Dave sitting next to him, and he's like,
"This that's great."
Yeah. Like basically it sounds like he's worked things out. He's like, I promise I'll be here to help however you need, and the chipmunks will be more reliable. It's going to be great. They're going to help you. You know, if you're afraid of losing your job, this is a thing that, you know, that'll help. It's, you know, you're not going to lose your job.
Yeah. The biggest act you have is Alvin and the chipmunks.
Yeah. So, and then we cut back to the chipmunks. They're kind of just wandering the neighborhood, and then like, oh no, I didn't notice what time it was. Dave should be back anytime.
Right. Let's have to make dinner for our caretaker, Dave.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it works.
No, the parents should be making the dinner, just in personal opinion.
Right. Yeah. So they all get home and they're like, let's make lasagna. That's Dave's favorite.
Yeah. And they're going to send the monster to cut the onions.
Yeah, they're all working together. The monster's doing well until he cuts his finger chopping onions and starts crying. But Theodore bandages the finger up. Everything's okay. And then I think they're like getting ready to take the lasagna out of the oven. And the monster just grabs it barehanded. And they're
gloves, get the fire mitts.
Yeah. And, you know, as his hands are burning, he ends up like chucking the lasagna out the window. And Alvin's like, it's fine. I'll go get it. He goes outside, and out there is Dr. Frankenstein, who's also kind of followed the trail. And rather than going in to get the monster, he's just like, this might be better. He just kidnaps Alvin and escapes.
Right. But the monster sees that and tries to do charades at Simon and Theodore to let them know, hey, the doctor stole Alvin.
Mm-hmm. And it takes them a while, but they eventually figure it out, and they're like, all right, we got to go save Alvin.
Right. Dave comes home and he's like, lasagna, my favorite. Okay. What the hell was he eating out of that pot? Because did they make lasagna stew? Were they like, we're going to have a backup? Or is he just slugging some marinara and some, Italian sausage down his throat? Like, what's going
that's
on?
What it, that's what it seemed like to me. Yeah, because the actual lasagna, you know, we know
it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. So, but Simon and Theodore are like, yeah, you know, we got to go back to the park. We'll be back in a little bit. But you can have dinner. You can take care of it yourself.
Yeah.
And then we cut away to Alvin at Frankenstein's lab. He's being, you know, he's strapped down.
The doctor's singing the Sammy Squirrel song, and he's like, ah, shit, I hate that song.
Yeah.
It's in my brain.
Yeah, and the whole time, Alvin's just fucking with him. He's just like a little smart-ass kid, and he's just getting on Frankenstein's nerves. It's really good.
Yeah, and I believe Frankenstein's like, all right, you keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to turn you into a mindless zombie.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, the chipmunks arrive at the park, and they're like, we got to hurry to the castle to save Alvin. And you know, they've got the monster with them. He has to stop a couple of times to take pics with fans.
Right.
But
I have feelings about that later. Right now they're all like, hey, Frankenstein or the monster. Awesome. Amazing.
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, you know, they're like, we know we're in a theme park. It's probably a Ghana costume or whatever, but like, you know, well, let's just like you would, you know, get a picture with Mickey at Disney.
Right. But and then the doctor finally finishes his fiendish formula.
Mm-hmm. And I think Alvin's like, try to say that three times fast. And for some reason, he's like, okay. And he, you know, he tries, and it's a tongue twister, and he can't. And at that point, the chipmunks have gotten outside the castle. They can't, like, you know, it's got like a moat kind of wooden door. And they're like, monster, you know, or they just call him Frank or Frankie, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, break down the door. So
in the meantime, the doctor has literally poured the formula down Alvin's throat, and mm-hmm. he's like, all right, now just a little jolt and you'll be a monster too.
Yeah. So he starts like zapping him with electricity, but that's right when the monster bursts through the door. The chipmunks all come rushing in, and somehow in the process, I don't know if they caused the problem or it just is bad manufacture or whatever, but like the electricity machine shorts out before it finishes.
So Alvin's not able to transform.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So they're like, you know, okay, let's hurry. Let's escape. And, you know, Simon ends up smashing a bunch of brain jars so that, you know, Frankenstein wants to, save his important specimens and lets them get away in the process.
And then science steals his spell book. I mean, his science book.
Right. And so as they're like kind of running and escaping, Simon is reading the book and he's like, oh no, this formula that he used, it's the...
It has a 3-minute timer.
Right. And it's like, it's some sort of cartoon chemical potion or whatever.
Cartoon monster maker is what it's called.
Right. Yeah. At first, that like manifests by like Alvin kind of turning into a giant like balloon version of himself. But then...
Demented Bugs Bunny?
Yeah. It's like the just like the stereotype cartoon trickster character. Yeah, like the Bugs Bunny or the, like, you know, Go-Go Dodo or whatever. Just like that character that's just there to sow chaos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that point, the chipmunks they need to be there for the premiere. It's like a big movie premiere that they're going to be performing at.
Right. What's the guy's name? He looks like a ripoff of Bruce Willis in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, he's just
Bud like Wiley.
But yeah, guy. Yeah, he's just your action star, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know they.
Yeah, he's
they
like all the chipmunks are late again. So you're gonna you're fucking me, Dave.
Yeah. But then Alvin shows up. And they're like, oh, good, they're here. But, you know, of course, he's in this weird kooky mode, and he's just, like, causing trouble, bouncing around, you know, knocking stuff
breaking
over.
Everything.
Yeah. And, you know, Simon and Theodore arrive soon after, and they're like, okay, we have to cure Alvin or our career is over. We've got to save the day.
All right, how do we do it? There's a formula, right?
Yeah, Simon finds that there's an antidote, but he's like, oh no, what are we going to do? Like, these ingredients, there's no way we're going to find these wacky ingredients.
The hindquarters of a frog, what is it, the children of a fish, and Theodore's like, oh yeah, that's all the food we have on the banquet. It's caviar, it's frog legs.
Cow tongue. Right. You know, it's a bunch of bougie, like, fancy delicacy food. So he's like, this, you know, it's like, Theodore's loving food saves the day. He knows all these weird food things. Eye roll. So he starts gathering things together, and then while that's all going on, Alvin is just bouncing off the walls, causing trouble,
antagonizes the action hero.
And then Frankenstein is trying to get into the party, but he's not on the guest list, so the bouncer, you know, won't let him through.
Right. He tries a couple times. Once he's just the doctor. The second one, he decides, hey, this is kind of a comedy thing in the 90s. Let's do some cross-dressing about it.
Right.
And apparently his cologne or stench tips off the security guard again.
Yeah, so he still gets kicked out. Meanwhile, Simon sees there's one last ingredient, and you know it's like a escargot something. I can't remember the full thing.
He literally says the scientific name for the snail type of escargot.
Yeah, and you know... Theodore's like, oh yeah, I saw that up on the snack table too, but when he goes over there, there's only one left, and
actress.
Yeah, it's, I forget what he called it. She's like a parody of like Olivia de Havilland, but like it's Olivia de something silly, some kind of pun name. But
right. He's basically, like, you so got screwed by the Oscars in that one performance.
Yeah, he does like a perfect negging. Like he gives her like a compliment, and then is like, oh, are you sure you want to eat that? Because you know that might. You know,
affect your girlish figure.
Yeah, you'll lose more roles that way. And she's like, oh yeah, you're right. So he takes it from her, which seems real shitty for like Theodore, the quote unquote fat character, to be body shaming someone else. Not cool. But I mean, I guess in this case, he's like, whatever works. I need this.
He's internalized that fat phobia.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they add that to the thing, and the concoction is ready. But the last thing is, they specifically have to give this to Alvin while he's upside down.
What?
Yeah, makes no sense.
Well, it's odd that the cartoon decides to contrive that occurrence.
Alvin
and Bud Wiley are fighting up on the sign, and it tips over.
Yeah, so they're like hanging upside down from a sign. And so Simon and Theodore like launch the bowl of antidote up in the air, you know, kind of like fireman trampoline style. It goes right into Alvin's mouth. He's instantly cured and wakes up and is like, wait, what are we doing hanging from the sign? Bud Wiley? I love you. You're great. Can I get your autograph? And
after he's antagonizing, calling him a terrible actor and all that.
Yeah. So he ends up he saves Bud Wiley. They get back down on the ground, and the chipmunks are it's all time. They made it in time. Alvin's acting normal. They can perform. Everything's gonna be okay. As that starts happening, Frankenstein does end up finally finding a way into the party, and he's like, I know that they stopped the process, but if I electrocute him again, I think I can jumpstart it again.
Right. Basically reverse the reversal.
Yeah. And this time, if I give him the full juice, he'll turn into the mindless zombie that I want. So
he basically goes to the performance, and that's what he tries to do.
Yeah. He plugs the microphone in wrong, and creates like a hot mic that's going to be electric or whatever.
Yeah.
As he's messing with that, the monster appears and sees Frankenstein and knows he's up to trouble. So he hits Frankenstein and Frankenstein falls onto the stage and he hits the electrified microphone and gets electrocuted in the process instead.
Yep.
But
then everyone's like, that monster is a monster.
Yeah.
Let's get him.
Yeah, which I think was what you were alluding to earlier, where it's like now suddenly they don't know that they don't think it's a costumed person, and they're like, let's attack him, and they immediately turn into a pitchfork torch mob.
Right. In the middle of the park where earlier they were like, hey, this is great, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like whatever we need it to be at the moment,
Yeah, but this is when Theodore gets to give his actual, hey, he may look like a monster, but he's not a monster, We should be cool with them. Don't judge a book by its cover, all that stuff. And it's like, I wish the writers had taken all that into consideration about you, Theodore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, this is the stereotype of cartoons from this era that South Park parodied it very well for a long time with the I've learned something today speech at the end of every episode. This is that. This is Charlie Brown did it. The Chipmunks did it. It's just, this time, because he says something about don't judge a book by its pages, and they're like, no, right. it's the cover. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You should look at the pages. You should judge it by the content of his character, blah, blah, blah. It's all very sweet and everything. But yeah, like you said, everyone's it would have been like, nice if they'd taken that into consideration.
No joke.
Somehow in this process.
Frankenstein gets aftened. He gets locked in his own suit.
Yeah. He's he's in the Sammy Squirrel costume now, bonded with it forever.
Awful.
Yeah. Truly a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so it's like the next day, the chipmunks are like, let's go visit our friend Frankie and see how he's doing on the job. Yeah. But instead of him being, the monster character at this, Hollywood attraction ride.
Now he has better talents. He's a tour guide.
He took over Phil's job as the tram tour guide.
But why does he have Alvin's voice?
Because it's the chipmunks taught him how to speak. So instead of him having a booming monster voice, he has a high pitched chipmunk voice.
Which that's funny.
Yeah. It's a pretty good gag. And as he's driving by, we see up on the hill, Frankenstein trapped in the Sammy Squirrel costume begins his new monster project.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah, and then we go to credits from there.
Yeah, you'd think he would just cut himself out of that fucking suit at that point.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. It's just a fabric suit. He can't be actually bonded to it.
Right.
But, it's a funny little punishment for this monster. He's been turned into a silly monster when he...
Well, it's the thing he hates the most, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yep. So that's Alvin and the Chipmunks Meet Frankenstein. It's kind of a short one this week.
Yeah, it's a sweet little, animated kids show, but it's fun. It's got a cute little message, as you would expect, but mostly it's fun. They portray the monster pretty well in it. I like the art style. It works well.
Yeah.
The black and white at the beginning is kind of a fun nod to the Universal stuff.
There's a few good gags.
Yeah. It's a pretty good time.
Decent songs.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to be listening to them in the car or anything,
no.
But it's a nice touch that it's not them just you know, like singing pop songs from the 90s or whatever.
Good God, what would they have been singing? Like Hit Me Baby One More Time?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Genie in a Bottle, there you go.
Right, that would have been popular. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's nice that they, you know, they did a little bit of work there. You know, it feels like it's its own thing in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise.
Fair enough. All right. Anything else we got to say about it?
I think that's it.
You know, I like cartoons, Anthony. Don't you?
I do.
Think maybe we should keep watching a few cartoons. How about next week we do something like we talked about earlier, Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I feel like we talk about Scooby-Doo a lot. Like, Scooby-Doo comes up in, like, silly chase scenes a lot. It's kind of like the platonic ideal of the silly chase scene. So now we're finally actually going to watch a Scooby-Doo property. And this is one that I had not seen. You know, it's a more modern, it's a recent Scooby-Doo thing. I think it's actually called Scooby-Doo, Frank and Creepy.
Yeah. All right, I'm excited. All right, Anthony, where can they find us?
Yeah, so you can find us on all the socials at The Frankencast. You can email us at thefrankencast@gmail.com. You can find us over on YouTube. And, of course, you can always find us at patreon.com/thefrankencast, where we're always trying new things. We'd love to have you over there. There's free trials. You know, we're trying things off the beaten path. If you've got suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. It's kind of a fun place to kind of let our hair down and kind of get off the normal format.
Yeah, just try some fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, Anthony, I really want you to, like, speed up my voice and make it high-pitched.
Just Alvin,
I can do it.
Looks like you survived another episode. The Frankencast is a production of FCR Media. It's hosted by Anthony Bowman and Eric Velasquez. Follow us on Twitter at The Frankencast, or send us a letter at thefrankencast@gmail.com. Our cover art is by Amanda Keller. You can find her at Keller Illustrations on Instagram. Our theme music is by Vivek Abhishek. Thanks for listening.